How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
And also, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King, locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today, it's me, Jay King, from MassLive.com with the great Sam Jam Packard. We've got a short list of subjects to tackle today. We're probably going to start with Isaiah Thomas's injury, suffered a pulled groin against the Houston Rockets, might miss Wednesday's game against the Orlando Magic. We're going to talk a little bit about the Kevin Garnett reality show that would have been the greatest reality TV show of all time. Unfortunately, it never happened, or at least hasn't happened yet. And then we're going to do the little Jaylen Brown mystery machine, pick the five best players or five players who deserve to ride on the mystery machine for their work over the past week. But first, we want to give a shout out to our sponsors, BetDSI. This episode is brought to you by BetDSI. We'll get to them a little bit more later, but just wanted to shout them out. And we're going to start after that with Sam. So Sam went to the Celtics-Sixers game, which was not the most compelling game, but it was close. And
it was an exciting game. It was like a very thrilling from start to finish. So at least it was that. But you're right. Should not have been that close.
How was meeting Corrales for the first time?
It was interesting. He was exactly kind of what I expected. Had a nice little dap up, took a selfie that got some love on Twitter. I had never met him until we recorded a podcast together like about 2 months ago. So it was actually nice to meet him in person, but it was good.
He's a big dude, man.
Yeah, he's way taller than I expected. Like, I knew he played basketball at Emerson, but then I was like, oh, you are considerably, like, multiple inches taller than me.
Yeah, for those listening, John's about, like, 6'5", 6'6", and not, like, a skinny dude either. Like, he's a full-framed man. He's not at all fat.
He's low-key thick.
Still in really good shape, but he was probably a low down low back in his days as a postman at Emerson College. One other thing from your experience at the game. So that night was the night Jonas Jerebko got dropped by Dario Saric. Saric gave him a jab step, a little crossover, and Jerebko went tumbling down. You said Jonas had a great reaction. What did Jerebko do, man?
Yeah, so I was about like three rows behind the baseline right by the Celtics bench. So I had a pretty good view of the bench all night. And after that, Jerebko was pissed off. He was furious. And the Sixers, they're doing a good job of in-game production. They kept showing the replay because that was like probably the loudest the arena got all night when Saric dropped him and then hit the jumper. And he was furious. He was just like, kind of gesturing at the highlights, like I couldn't really make out what he was saying, but it was just seemed to be very, very frustrated. People were trying to kind of console him, try to like tell him to get back in the game. He wasn't listening to anyone. He was just furious that kind of the crowd was getting on him that much and that they kept showing the replay. So that was probably the funniest thing that happened from my view right beyond the Celtics bench.
Sometimes you get got, man. I mean, that's tough. And
there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, Jarebko is a feisty dude. He is really like a scrapper, is how I would put it. Like he's a very competitive guy. He's got a little edge to him. So the fact that he did not react well initially to that is kind of, I kind of expected that, but it's great that people had to like console him, bring him back on track.
Yeah. Brian Dew was really trying to get him to like, come on, man. It wasn't the biggest deal. It's like, let's focus in on the game. And he was furious, which was hilarious. And eventually, since they won, it wasn't a big deal. But he got pretty bad, and it was just like all this, like the immediate reaction of the Sixers fans, like they just exploded immediately once it happened, and it was like brought some energy into the room. And Jonas, he could feel it. He knew he got.
Yeah, he knew that one was going to be all over the internet. I got to ask this question. This is an ad read. Do you love basketball? I assume you do, since you're listening to this podcast. But are you ready to get into the action? Check out BetDSI.com. Over 20 years in the business, really top-rated gambling site. I don't play there, and I'll tell you why in a little while. I have not gambled on BetDSI. It is not because of BetDSI. BetDSI, I've heard all great things about BetDSI, but I'll tell you why I don't gamble there in a little while. But BetDSI.com has a great basketball special. Sign up today and get $10 free to try their service. BetDSI is also offering a 100% bonus on your first deposit. Now, that's a hell of a bonus, guys. 100%. That's like full deposit bonus. Great customer service at BetDSI. Fast and easy payment of winnings. Because you guys all are going to win. I know you are going to win. Hundreds of football and basketball wagers to choose from. You also get UFC, even Trump versus Clinton odds to bet on the elections. That's something to happen. You can't bet on that anymore.
Yeah, you can start betting on the 2018 midterms, though. There's some futures bets you can play.
Start betting on something else. See, that's when ad reads go wrong right there. BetDSI even has live in-game wagering on all football, basketball, and other major sporting events. You can play virtually everything at BetDSI. Go to BetDSI.com now. That's BetDSI.com. Go there now and use our promotion code Celtics10 to get your free wager and start winning today. So I promised I would tell you why I do not use BetDSI.com, and it all goes back to when I was in college gambling way more than I should have. So there was one night when I was in college, and so I'm a good poker player, but I used to play online poker all the time. And in college I deposited $50. And I'm not going to say how much I built it up to, but it was a very considerable amount of money. And I'm not saying it only because my dad listens to this podcast and I don't want to hear his earful any more than I'm going to hear it. But one night I got really drunk and I went back to my room and I played poker way out of the stakes that I should have been playing. And I lost every penny. And so since then, I have tried to stay away from gambling as much as possible. I still play poker when I'm live, but definitely no online gambling for me. But if I were going to do some online gambling, it would be at BetDSI. That's probably not the best sales pitch, is it?
It wasn't the best. He basically gave a gambling horror story. But basically, my advice would be just to, if you're going to do a wager, just be sober when you do it. Let's not do any high stakes drunk gambling.
See, if you were sober, you would have won, and you are going to win at BetDSI.com with the promotion code Celtics10. All right, let's talk about Isaiah Thomas's injury. Just a quick reaction to it. Looks like he might not play against the Orlando Magic. The Celtics recalled Demetrius Jackson from the main Red Claws. He's been there for about a month. Looks like that is due to the fact that they might need point guard depth. Who would you start? Would you just start Smart automatically if Thomas can't go?
I think Smart's the obvious choice. He's the second best point guard on terms of kind of facilitating the offense. And so he's also your first sub. So it kind of makes sense that he's already going to play somewhere over 30 minutes a game. Why not just kind of start out with those rosters? You're going to see Rozier get more minutes. You might see some Demetrius Jackson minutes, but if you really trust Smart to be your sixth man, there's no reason why you wouldn't trust him to be your backup point guard in this situation.
Yeah, and he plays more than 30 minutes anyway, so it's got to be Smart. I think they should sit him out. It's the Orlando Magic. Obviously, you kind of need a win. Like, after that, there's the Raptors and a lot of other tough teams coming up, tough stretch schedule coming up. You got to have him healthy for that. I think they should beat the Magic regardless of whether Isaiah plays. Run more stuff through Horford. Have Smart run point guard. Get that groin healthy, because those are things that can nag you. The muscle pulls, those can stick with you for a while if you keep playing on them. So give him a night off. Get him back Friday versus the Raptors. I think they should hold Isaiah out. I know he wants to play 82 games like he did last year. I know that that's important to him, and he spent the whole summer eating right and sleeping right and trying to play 82 games. Just chill out, man. Take it easy. Take a break. It's the Orlando Magic. Come back healthy for Friday, and let Smart play. And I really do think – I saw you tweet this today that you thought it was their best game against Houston. What was the reason you thought – like, what – did you think changed for them in that game?
I think it was just about kind of the intensity level and the kind of execution on defense just seemed to be there. I mean, it's especially hard to defend James Harden, and especially when pretty much if he makes a move, he's going to get a foul call for him. But I just felt like they really stepped up and kind of played more of that kind of ball attacking defense and created more turnovers, and they weren't getting absolutely abused on the defensive glass as they normally would. It just felt like they had a cohesive effort from basically start to finish. Yes, there's lapses or runs, but basketball is a game of runs. You're not going to have like a perfect kind of outing unless you're the Golden State Warriors and Klay Thompson is scoring 60, et cetera, et cetera. But it's like...
That was crazy, man.
The crazy, that's just a tangent, but he touched the ball while scoring 60 points. He actually was hands on the basketball for less than a minute and a half, which is absolutely crazy.
How many points could you score if you touched it for 88 seconds in an NBA game?
Zero. I don't think I could do anything.
I used to always tell this to people. I used to always say if I played the whole game, and the coaches weren't allowed to take me out, I think I could get double digits.
No, absolutely not. You'd be exhausted.
No. Because if they couldn't take me out, there's no way I'm playing D.
You're just cherry picking the whole time.
I know I can't guard guys. I would just spot up at the arc, man. I always used to say that. I don't think I could do it anymore. But when I was in my prime, I think I could have gotten 10 points over 48 minutes just by being. They would have left me. I would have been wide open. I think I could have just spotted up. Got some buckets.
Okay, that's fair. You definitely could not have scored a 60 though, in like Klay Thompson. But the craziest thing about that was he just had wild. Like I was watching that supercut of just every single one of his points. Like I think he had 21 buckets. It felt like 16 of them were just layups at the rim. Could the Pacers not cover a back cut or a curl or anything? It wasn't like unbelievable shot making like we've seen him do before. He did do some of that, but. Just simple layups. Pacers are an atrocious defensive team, but that's a wild tangent. Back to the Celtics. It just felt like they had a good effort for 48 minutes against a very good team, what might be the fourth best team in the Western Conference, and they had a chance to win it at the end. It just felt like a better performance, much better than they played Saturday night against the Sixers or Friday night against the Sacramento Kings. It just felt like better basketball, and the result didn't go their way, but it was a step in the right direction, in my opinion.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate, and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.
Yeah, I felt like after watching parts of the game again, I felt like they kind of got their rotations more closer to what they need. I think, you know, the Bradley Smart Thomas lineups have been really bad. And Stevens closed with the IT and D lineup again, which is Bradley Smart, Crowder, Thomas, and Horford. He closed with those in both halves. They weren't great again. I still don't think that's the lineup they need at the end. That lineup has been getting decimated, been getting crushed, giving up tons of points all season. I get why he goes to it, though. Those are their five best players. You have to try. It's only a quarter of the way through the season. See if they can work. I don't think that's their should be their closing lineup. But interestingly, he went away from the Thomas Bradley Smart lineups for the rest of that game. And I think that's big because I think they need to play bigger. I think they need to put more of an emphasis on rebounding. And they only give up seven offensive rebounds to the fourth best offensive rebounding team in the NBA. So that was huge. Like that's the best they've rebounded maybe all year, considering the opponent, considering how much pressure Harden puts on you. So all good thing. I really, like you said, I don't know if it was their best game. It was one of their best games of the season, and certainly one of the most complete, where they didn't have the lulls that they've had a lot of other nights, like they did against the Kings, the Sixers. Basically, they've had some inconsistent play, but they didn't do so much of it the other night. I was trying to think of a good segue right there. I didn't find it, man. I didn't find the segue I wanted.
And well, I'm glad you were honest with the listeners and just
sometimes you just don't have it. But anyway, we got it. Kevin Garnett. So today on his podcast, Chris Mannix of The Vertical said that Kevin Garnett, after the Celtics traded him to the Nets, was considering retirement. And at one point, he actually approached the Showtime Sports executive, and pitched a reality TV show where they would have followed him to college and he would have lived in the dorms and he would have gone to class and it would have been on TV. There would be no better television show. Like KG in the dorm rooms.
I'm just imagining like all like the first things is like, imagine being that kid who like finds out or gets the emails like your roommate's going to be Kevin Garnett, and then like the first awkward like Facebook message or phone call or help like Kevin Garnett meeting your parents for the first time and helping you move in, or like awkward orientation games with KGs like, I'm Kevin Garnett, I was a basketball Hall of Famer, I'm cool, my name's like Kevin, I'm cool, that's how you can remember me. Like, just it would have been awesome. Just to see him deal with drunk kids, high kids, hijinks galore. It would have been amazing.
I picture him like setting the alarm for like 4:30 a.m. and then waking up screaming in his roommate's ear, "Get up, motherfucker! We're gonna go to the fucking gym and we're gonna fucking get there. Let's fucking do this right now! Ah!
Oh, you ready to study for psychology? You ready to go to Psych 101?" And then just like headbutting his roommate until he's bleeding.
Bleep, 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 bleep. It would have been unreal, man. And like, it's cool that we get to experience him a little bit on TNT. And he hangs out with Rasheed Wallace and whatever. That is so far from KG Uncensored. I need KG Uncensored in a dorm room. like I don't care that it hasn't happened yet. Someone needs to make this happen. Someone with huge money needs to lay it down in KG's face and make that happen. We need Kevin Garnett going to college and having it be on TV. That would be, I wouldn't watch anything else. Like you could have that show on 24/7. I'd probably quit my job, like, and just watch that show all day.
Can you imagine KG like pledging a frat and like some pledge master trying to get him to do like some of the nasty shit they have those kids do? It's just like, you better drink that like gross like cup of like throw up and cigarettes. And Kevin Garnett would not be having that. It would just be high entertainment all the way around.
I need it in my life, man. All right, let's go on to the mystery machine. So this is a segment we came up with because Jaylen Brown, at some point over the summer, tweeted a picture of himself with something that looked like the Scooby-Doo mystery machine. And he said, who's coming on a ride with me? So we have picked the five players who deserve to be on Jaylen Brown's mystery machine every week. We're going to give you the first pick, Sam. Who you got?
I think this is going to be his first appearance on his own machine, but I'm going to go with Jaylen Brown. He's did a back-to-back kind of solid performances in Philly and then in Houston, and I think he's going to be really key moving forward. You mentioned earlier that they're going to have to go away from those smaller three-guard lineups, and that means playing someone like Jaylen Brown who actually has some size. And in Philadelphia, he had that pretty sweet block after he got roasted, but we'll not focus on that. He had that amazing dunk that was right on the basket I was at. That was just amazing to see. It's like just that he can jump at the gym. And then in Houston, I thought he had some really good minutes where you can really see kind of his potential. So back-to-back good performances from Jaylen Brown has him riding shotgun in his own mystery machine.
Great analysis there. Jaylen Brown can jump out of the gym. That's the stuff you can only get here at the Locked On Celtics podcast.
It's not only great analysis, it's a cliche as well.
Yeah, so we just bring you the goods. We bring you the goods. I'm going to go with Jonas Jerebko. He gets the first start, and he hasn't missed a shot in like 7 months. Jerebko is just shooting the heck out of the ball, hustling like he normally does, and you know what? After that, Dario Saric, he deserves a ride to clear his mind a little bit. And do you think his start was like obviously this isn't the case, like a sympathy start? But I was like, sorry, like we got to give Jonas a start next.
His feelings are so hurt. We need to boost his confidence.
That Saric thing was tough. We got to start this guy.
Possibly. Brad Stevens is very into like the positive growth mindset. He's all into kind of the psychology of coaching. So it would make sense to me. So I'm fine with Jonas being on, especially because he rebounded well. He really took it so tough. You know, you just got to reward some guys sometime.
Yeah. So Jonas deserves it. Your pick now, man.
I'm going to go with Al Horford, but only the Al Horford that existed on Friday against the Sacramento Kings, because I don't think
– an incredible Al Horford.
That was peak Al Horford, where he basically just shut down Boogie Cousins. He did some really amazing things in that game, but I have to limit it to that game because I can't reward a guy for missing the final shot. I'm not saying that Al Horford's a bad player or anything, but I want to be very specific that I'm rewarding him for his performance on Friday, not his performance on Monday.
I mean, what do you have Monday? 21, 9, and 6? I think he deserves a ride on the mystery machine, all right?
Fine, but he's riding bitch, man.
We got 6'10" Al Horford riding bitch.
There's got to be consequences.
Which means we got to have Isaiah Thomas in there because we got to find room to squeeze in Al Horford and bitch. Isaiah, he deserves it anyway. 37 points against the Sixers. The 12 points in a row when the Celtics desperately needed it to stave off an upset against the NBA's worst team playing without Joel Embiid. So Isaiah Thomas, he always deserves it. And now he's hurt a little bit. We'll get him some ice, a heating pad. I don't even know how you treat a pulled groin. Whatever you do to treat a pulled groin, we'll get him a massage on this thing. We'll treat him right in the mystery machine.
Oh, yeah. It was a funny thing watching Isaiah Thomas when he was on the bench in that Sixers game, because when he's not in the game, he's just antsy. He's just dying to get back in. Like when there's a timeout and he's on the bench, he doesn't even go to the huddle. He just kind of stands alone and is just like, basically, it's just he's not actually shaking, but it looks like he's just like he needs to be in control of this game because he's so sick of watching his teammates kind of like give up leads or not play well. So I'll give it to Isaiah. And
I love so my favorite subplot of the season, and this is just a tiny detail, at practices when the Celtics stretch, he just goes off and shoots by himself.
Isaiah doesn't stretch.
He just goes off and shoots.
And now he has a pulled groin. So coincidence?
Ooh. But it's like what you're saying. Like he doesn't want to be in the huddle. He just wants to be on the court playing. And he doesn't want to be stretching. He just wants to be shooting. Just let Isaiah ball, man. Just let him ball.
Yeah, and I don't know who was more frustrated looking in that Sixers game, Isaiah or Brad Stevens himself, because Brad looked mighty, mighty pissed throughout that entire game. And he's always kind of – he was probably just looking at the clock and the score above me, but it looked like he was just like staring off in the distance with anger and just like fire in his eyes.
That's
so that was also fun to watch.
When Sergio Rodriguez takes a dump on your team's chest.
They call him Chacho. He's mighty entertaining. He plays with a man who is like, he thinks he's like nine times better than he actually is, which I can kind of appreciate. I love his confidence.
Didn't they used to call him Spanish chocolate? After white chocolate? I think that was him.
That would make sense with his game.
I'm not a Sergio Rodriguez guy, but I'm definitely a Spanish chocolate guy.
You're a big Spanish chocolate guy? That's fair. Let's put him on the mystery machine because I don't know who we're putting number five.
Who's going to be number five?
It's kind of tough.
Let's pick a joint. I'm going to go Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart.
Just because he got that elbow to the face from James Harden?
Just because he got that block on
Marcus. Oh, yeah, that's pretty sweet.
And his fourth quarter, he was really good in that fourth quarter. He hit the three. He had that block. Marcus Smart. He's riding in that mystery machine. Plus, I feel like he might kick our ass if we don't put him on the mystery machine.
I don't know. Marcus feels kind of like whenever he talks in the locker room, he doesn't have the same intensity he brings to the court. So as long as like he cares as much about the mystery machine as he does about winning basketball games, then I think he might kick our ass. But other than that, he seems like a pretty mild mannered fun dude, so who knows. I really appreciate his flop on the Horford miss, because it just shows he's doing anything it takes to try and win. And in real time, I was like, oh, Al Horford, what are you doing? And then part of me was like, oh, they fouled Marcus, and he fooled me in real time. I was like,
you can't be fooled by Marcus. When Harden hit him with the elbow, I was 100% convinced it was a flop.
I'm endlessly entertained by his flopping. People say it's giving him a bad reputation. I think it's hilarious. Although, the more obvious it is.
I will say that last flop, if he had just gone up and tried to tip it in, I think he was a little off balance. I think obviously he was just trying to win. Obviously he thought that was his best chance to win. But he had the position. He could have just gone up and tried to tip it in. But again, he thought it was going to go in, and he was off balance. He wasn't ready, I don't think, to go up and tip it home. So.
But he's always ready to flop. So once he saw that it wasn't going in, his body turned into a fish, and it was awesome.
Just catapulted himself to the floor. I love – his flops are just so over the top, so dramatic. It's amazing. It really – it is. You can just watch him over and over again, and every time it just gets better than the last. The other day we were in the media room, and a few of us were just watching all of his greatest flop hits.
Oh, is there YouTube compilations of it?
No, I don't think we were going one by one, like the Carmelo Anthony one, the Kyle Korver one. He just has some great flop hits.
If there's someone out there who wants some YouTube love and wants a bunch of views, they can put together a good compilation video of Marcus Smart flops. I'll retweet that in a second.
Yeah, tweet it with the Rain and Jays, and we will all retweet it. Thank you all for listening. We're here. The Locked On podcast is here every day, Monday through Friday. So go subscribe to us. Listen to us every day. Search for us if you need to on Google Play, Audio Boom, Stitcher. Wherever else you listen to podcasts, search for Locked On Celtics. You'll find us, and just keep up with us, man. We're the greatest Celtics podcast that has ever existed. We really are.
it's fantastic to know that you're you are the co-host of the greatest Celtics podcast that has ever lived. Thank you all for listening. That's it for this episode of the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.